Jake Bolden.
Welcome back to the Blue Raider podcast presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee. Today's episode, it's all hoops talk as it is coming down to crunch time for both the men's and women's basketball program. The men, they stay afloat in their postseason hopes with a win over UTEP on a two-game win streak. However, the Lady Raiders have now lost their second straight in a historic showing in Lynchburg last night, so all eyes will be on them up in Newark tomorrow. And then softball is finally home for their home opener slash home opening tournament that they're hosting this weekend. So we'll, if we have the time at the end of our episode, we'll be checking in with them. And of course, baseball is rocking and rolling right now against Illinois State. But before we get in to today's episode, I need to thank our presenting sponsor, Gold's Gym of Tennessee. They currently have a new month-to-month pricing that's available online only with no additional fees. The Gold membership is just $25 biweekly with a $40 enrollment, or you can upgrade to the family plan for you and your significant other at just $45 biweekly with only a $20 enrollment fee. That membership gives you access to all 16 Gold Gym locations across the state of Tennessee, along with their group exercise classes and their child care, all included, once again, with no hidden costs. So visit Gold's Gym of Tennessee online at goldsgym.com to learn more and find a location near you. Thanks again to Gold's Gym of Tennessee for sponsoring our episode. If you're not already following the Blue Raider podcast on our social media at Blue Raider Pod, we're on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. We're live streaming there today on X and YouTube. We're having some issues with Facebook, so bear with us for those that are our typical Facebook listeners. But you can, if you are listening to us on X and YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe and follow button so you don't miss one of our weekly episodes. And of course, Saturday at the conclusion of the men's basketball game against New Mexico State, we have our live stream press conference there, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure you're following along. And if you want to call in and join today's episode, you can call the studio at 615-893-1450. And our producer, Micah, here will take your call. Some updates for you here in Murfreesboro. Softball, like I said at the beginning, they have their home opener and their MTSU tournament. They are winners of both game one at 11 against Akron, defeating the Zips 4-3. And then they beat the Skyhawks of UT Martin 9-3 in their 2 o'clock matchup. So making quick work of that second game today. And then they will be back in action tomorrow, but we'll touch base with them more. Baseball currently on their route to a run rule. They are up 13-2, still batting in the bottom of the sixth inning. So they need three outs in the top of the seventh to get out of game one with a run rule victory. And of course, men's tennis, a big one for them today. They are at home hosting the number 19th ranked Princeton Tigers, and they are just now starting off their doubles matchups there, so we'll be keeping an eye on that one. Again, a ranked top 25 matchup for the men's tennis program, so big stuff for them. Now, the topic at hand is the men's basketball program. They picked up a big win, to say the least, last night, 77-67 over UTEP. It may not seem like much, and I know when I look at this game on paper, I can't help but think about their game all the way back to early January, where they lost in overtime in El Paso, a game that we all thought, well, when it comes down to seeding and where this team stands in Conference USA, we're going to look back at that El Paso game and think we probably should have won that game. And boy, is that ever more true than it is right now with all these teams jockeying for position. The Blue Raiders victorious. However, unfortunately, no one in Conference USA really gives them any help last night. Everyone that's above them ends up winning, and everyone that's below them ends up losing. So there is some good and some bad with that. You obviously are creating separation from being out of the tournament. That's always good. But you're currently sitting in the seventh seed if you're MTSU, which when it comes to how that Conference USA tournament comes out in 2 weeks as a seventh seed, you're playing on Tuesday in the play-in games. And then, unfortunately, you then turn around in 2 days, and then you have to play either, if you're the seven seed, you'll have to play the two seed. And then you are on a crash course for playing, if you get to the championship game, playing four games in 5 days. So that week certainly can get busy for you. But getting off that seven seed, getting into that sixth spot gives you that one extra day. You're still going to have to play three games in 4 days. However, evading the one or two seed is obviously ideal because we all know how good Liberty is, and Sam Houston looks, in my opinion, just as scary. And Liberty looks a little bit more human as of late, actually losing their second straight game, getting blown out against Western Kentucky last Saturday, and then they dropped a big one last night in Kennesaw, losing that game by 9. Really, they trailed for the majority of that game. So Liberty looks a lot more human. Sam Houston, however, does not. I think they've won 11 of their last 12, something absurd like that. Western Kentucky also looks phenomenal. They had a big 23-point win ago over New Mexico State. So there's your separation. But Kennesaw, Louisiana Tech, coming back, beating Missouri State late, that was the one you really needed Missouri State to win. That didn't help you out. And then Delaware actually took Jacksonville State all the way to overtime, and Jacksonville State won by 10 there at home. So a lot happened, but for MTSU's sake, nothing happened. You still stayed in the seventh spot, but it does beat losing. So let's talk about that matchup last night. 77-67. The Blue Raiders were up by 1 point by 24, but they hang on to win that matchup by just 10 points. Kamari lands with 22 points on only two made three-pointers. Torrey Alston goes for 15 and 11. And I have it noted that in El Paso, he went for just 8 points, 5 rebounds. So obviously a much better game for Torrey Alston against a really physical Miners team. And then also of note, Chris Loof ties his career high with 13 rebounds. And then he scores 7 points to go along with it. So just 3 points shy of another double-double for him. But the team looked great. And I know that probably a bad taste in your mouth with how that game finished up. You had that 24-point lead with around 14 minutes left to go, and it dwindled all the way down. UTEP actually got it down to within 8 there with about 5-6 minutes left, and you were just able to maintain that separation. I was alarmed. Yes, UTEP got extremely hot from 3 as they had to overcome a 24-point deficit. So you would think at some point those shots would have to start falling, but the Blue Raiders continued to hold their own on the glass. For the second straight game, they hold the opposition to hardly any offensive rebounds. They had 3 offensive rebounds, I believe, in last Saturday's matchup. They allowed Delaware to just 2, so they've only allowed 5 offensive rebounds. So they're doing a really good job of compacting the paint, holding the opposition to single possessions, and that's really what it was all about there late, maybe not playing great perimeter defense, but the game just lended itself to playing a lot more conservative on the offensive side with such a big lead. It's hard to lose if you're eating up 30 seconds of the shot clock and consequently getting those offensive rebounds, which they did particularly well too. So for 30 minutes, though, I thought that team looked like the team in early January that was winning a lot of basketball, that was at one point in time second place in Conference USA. They look like they've found the groove, the confidence, especially on the offensive side, but really on the defensive side. They held UTEP, and UTEP's not necessarily the most offensively talented team in Conference USA, but they did a really, really good job, I thought, last night, dominating both sides of the floor. And that was something that Coach McDevitt had mentioned in that post-game presser, was how this team can clearly do it both ways. They've lost games where they've scored 80 points up at Delaware, even up in the 80s when you were in Bowling Green against Western Kentucky, and then they've lost games where they're down in the 60s, like they did against Western Kentucky when they were here in Murfreesboro. So they've been on both ends of that spectrum, but the last 2 games, it's felt like they've been able to piece both sides of the basketball together. And I think a lot of that, for me anyways, when I'm watching this team, Chris Loof has been a big part of that. And I know that he obviously faces the most criticism out of anyone on that team, but they've changed a lot with how they utilize Chris Loof offensively. He's spending a lot more time in the paint. He's not handling the ball on the top of the key, which I know is something that, when we looked back at the Bowling Green game last week, had some untimely shots that he took from deep. Luka himself handling the ball at top of the key had an untimely turnover that led to a breakaway or fast break layup for Western Kentucky to put that game away, essentially. So the posts are not handling the ball at the top of the key. That has been a big difference for them, because both of their bigs look a lot more comfortable being down low, playing their bump and run style down low, not having to handle, being in uncomfortable situations is really the best way I can really word that for those guys. because of that, Loof spending a lot more time in the paint. He back-to-back games where he's had 13 rebounds. That's just not a stat line that he's – and I was surprised to see that 13 was his career high that he set last Saturday against Delaware, and then he tied it last night. And then he also had only a second-ever double-double last weekend against Delaware. Again, I understand the competition of Delaware and UTEP, but you can't talk about how good this team has looked on both ends of the floor when you talk about Chris Loof and how he hasn't affected the game in a negative way on the offensive side because – he's been a catch-and-shoot guy. If he gets the ball, if he's able to get physical and get to the rim and get fouled, he does it. If not, the ball's out of his hands quickly, finding a guard, doing a skip pass of some sort. So Loof just looks a lot more comfortable. But on that same note, this team looks more physical, and UTEP's always a great measuring stick for that. We all know how Joe Golding's teams are the most physical teams. They will turn the ball. They will turn you over. Did a great job controlling the turnovers last night. But this team was just more physical without fouling. And we saw that with Torrey Alston and Chris Loof. Those guys fouled out when they played in El Paso. Those guys were able to maintain their composure on that side of the ball. But this team, when they're physical on the defensive side, good things tend to happen for them. And so seeing them approach the most physical team in Conference USA and UTEP last night is promising because these games are just only going to become more physical as they get into the conference tournament. So hats off to them for that win, but it's not over yet. They have to play New Mexico State tomorrow, and they still need to win one more game. If you haven't seen on Conference USA podcast roundtables post as of today, that they still have to win one more game to guarantee them a spot into the Conference USA tournament. I believe the probability is still 1% that they don't make it, but you control your own destiny of making the tournament as long as you win this first one, or win this one on Saturday for Senior Day against New Mexico State. Looking at New Mexico State, they're a team that is on that bottom four teams that are still jockeying for that last spot into the Conference USA tournament. They actually lost last night 93-72 Western Kentucky, so they have their work cut out for them right now. But we're looking back to when the Blue Raiders won in Las Cruces against the Aggies. It was 59-55. That one was a doozy, to say the least. You were coming off the heels of that disappointing overtime loss in El Paso. You trailed early, 20-4, 9 minutes into that game, but you were able to tie it back up at 29 apiece at halftime. And then in the second half, this is where the roller coaster comes in. You took a 13-point lead with just 10 minutes left, and you thought, much like you did last night, that you were running away with it. It was over, and then New Mexico State got hot from deep and brought it all and made it an interesting game, to say the least. But the Blue Raiders only had four made three-pointers and held in New Mexico State to just six, and both teams shot under 65% at the free throw line with a combined 46 attempts. So free throw shooting was not either one of these teams' strong suit in that 59-55 win for the Blue Raiders in Las Cruces. So looking at this game tomorrow at 1 o'clock at home. Again, it is Senior Day. I know that they're at 12. Baseball's at 1. Basketball's at 12 noon tomorrow, but they are having Senior Day festivities 15 minutes before tip-off. Up into Bowling Green, New Mexico State had won three of their last five. Again, they are still playing for their postseason hopes. They right now do not control their destiny to get in, so they need a lot of help, but they still need to continue to win basketball games. But New Mexico State, not particularly good at any one thing. Defensively, they are one of the better teams in Conference USA in terms of field goal percentage defense and three-point field goal percentage defense. They don't turn the ball over a lot relative to other Conference USA teams. They are 8-4 when they are below their season average in turnover percentage. So something that good teams, I mean, obviously if you don't turn the ball over, you're going to put yourself in good position. But when this team doesn't turn it over, they are in prime position, much like they have in that three, winning three of their last six at this point now. So this team was regarded in going into the season as one of the top transfer classes in Conference USA. They had 11 total transfers. So this team is still, I always wonder why they were not able to put it together this year, because they had a lot of talented guys like Jamel Jones, who's currently top five in Conference USA, scoring at 17 points per game. And also Julius Mims, who's a top rebounder in Conference USA with 9 rebounds per game. So this team on paper is really talented, and they have guys like Jamel Jones who are certainly scary and have takeover ability. I look at Jamel Jones as kind of like Corey Stevenson from FIU, if anyone can look back to that game a week ago, where he can just put in 20 points a night And that's just kind of what you expect. But the help outside of Jones hasn't been there for these guys. If they're going to win this game, I always say it's going to be on the defensive end of the floor. So I look at it as MTSU doing the things that they do well, which is controlling the pace of the game, not turning the ball over, winning the rebounding battle, continuing this strong physical presence they have down low, like we saw last night against El Paso and then last Saturday against Delaware. I think that if MTSU controls their intangibles, I think that they're the better team. And again, it's a big one. You win, you're in the least, you were at least in the Conference USA tournament, and that monkey is off your back. So again, that tip-off is tomorrow at Murphy Center at 12 noon. 11:45 is going to be the senior day festivities. So I look forward to seeing all the Blue Raider faithful being there for that one. But we are going to go into a commercial break. As I said earlier, update quickly with baseball, 13-3, top of the seventh there. They just need one more out, and they will run rule the Redbirds. And then men's tennis is having their host of number 19, Princeton, right now, still going into double, so no points scored there. But women's basketball is currently on their own little losing skid right now as they are jockeying for that number two seed. We will have all what happened in Lynchburg. We'll break that down because every game still matters for them. So we'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to the Blue Raider Podcast presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee.
This is Chip Walters, and I'm honored to be your 2024 MTAR Realtor of the Year. I'm with Exit Realty Bob Lamb and Associates, and like many of you, I've seen the real estate market shift and change. People often ask, Chip, what's really going on? Well, that's a great question, and I believe in answering with solid factual data. So let's cut through some of the noise. I invite you to reach out. Let's have a conversation about your real estate goals and the current market trends in your neighborhood. You can find all my contact information at choosechip.net.
In Rutherford County, you know how much it means to have neighbors you can count on. I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama, here to help life go right when you combine home and auto insurance. Call me today at 615-890-0850 and let me save you money and time. Your home, your auto. Together, they're where life happens. I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama. It's smart to protect them together to help life go right. Give me a call at 615-890-0850 and let me help you save by combining your home and auto.
Whether you need general vehicle upkeep and maintenance or a complete vehicle overhaul, Hall's Auto Care is here for you. We're locally owned and operated by Greg Hall and have been in business since 2014. You'll get excellent service and trustworthy advice with Hall's Auto Care. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. We're ready to help get you safely on the road. Hall's Auto Care, 907 Ridgely Road, just off Broad Street behind Chili's. Online at hallsautocare.net. Hall's Auto Care.
You're listening to the flagship station for Blue Raiders sports.
Hot 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Middle Tennessee.
Play up and score.
Middle Tennessee football, basketball, and baseball.
Yeah, we got them.
You're listening to the flagship station for Blue Raider athletics. I'm Chip Walters. Hear the games here on News Radio WGNS.
Middle Tennessee win.
Raiders win the championship.
Your source for the big blue and the borough. News Radio WGNS.
It's time for the Doug Young Educator of the Month, proudly sponsored by City Tile and Floor Covering on Spring Street. We're over at Siegel Middle School to celebrate a teacher who really goes the extra mile. Seventh grade ELA specialist Eva Carroll. As part of the 7C team, Miss Carroll does more than just teach English. She helps her students find their own voices. She is known for making literature click and for creating a classroom where every kid feels like they belong. Whether she's collaborating with her team or mentoring a student, her passion for Siegel Middle is impossible to miss. For her incredible heart and hard work, our Doug Young Educator of the Month, sponsored by City Tile and Floor Covering, receives a gift certificate to Toots and a beautiful plaque from L&K Trophy. Congratulations, Eva Carroll at Siegel Middle School, and thanks for all you do. To nominate your favorite teacher, go to WGNSradio.com/educator.
Good afternoon. And finally moving a little bit better over here on 40 westbound near Spence Lane on that accident. Looked pretty violent at first. Now it's moving better there, passing the airport through Donaldson. It's having no surprise, really, this time of the afternoon, 65 north, where it slows down right there at Rivergate Parkway, trying to get up into Goodlettsville. Lots and lots of radar out here, 24, especially out through the Antioch area into Murfreesboro. STR Towing and Recovery says call them this weekend if you need their help. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is the Blue Raider Podcast, presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, 100.5 Smyrna, WGNSradio.com, and the Blue Raider Podcast YouTube channel. Now, back to your host, Jake Bolden.
Welcome back into the Blue Raider Podcast, presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee. We are talking all hoops today as the Conference USA tournament is just 2 weeks away. We talked last segment about men's basketball getting a big win against UTEP, and then they've got another big one against New Mexico State to clinch their spot in the Conference USA tournament. But our attention right now is turned over to the Lady Raiders, who had a historic loss in Lynchburg yesterday evening, losing to Liberty 65-37. But every game at this moment still matters, as they're still trying to get to that two seed spot, locking in that one extra day's rest. And luckily for them, it's only one loss, so it's not over. But before we get into it, if you're not already following us on our social media, we are live streaming right now on X and YouTube. Make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss another one of our weekly episodes. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you want to call in and join today's episode, our number 615-893-1450. And our producer here will take your call. We were just talking about baseball. They're still only one out away, leading Illinois State 13-3 right now, amidst a pitching change, but the Blue Raiders are just one out away. And as I say that, Kate's got the final strikeout, so that is it. The Blue Raiders will defeat Illinois State in game one of their weekend set by a score of 13-3. Men's tennis is hosting number 19th ranked Princeton, currently over in the outdoor, and we have two doubles pairs that are currently up 5-2 in their game, so that would be a huge doubles point for men's tennis. We'll continue to touch base with them. But as I said, the Lady Raiders on a historic loss in Lynchburg to Liberty by a score of 65-37. I say historic because it is the fewest points scored by the Lady Raiders basketball program in history, dating all the way back to 2014, when they scored only 36 points against Oregon State in the round of 64 of the NCAA tournament. But it's the fourth fewest in a school in a game in program history, just 37 points against Liberty, and they did not come easy. And I know a lot of that has to do with Liberty's defense, and they only allowed MTSU to shoot 26% field goal and 10% from 3-point range, going just 2 of 21 from deep. It's all that to say, like I said at the very beginning, it's just one game. That luckily it only counts on the standings as one game. We've talked all year about how young this group is, and at this point, I think if Coach Insull was sitting here beside me, he would tell me that that's no longer an excuse that you can use for this team. They are no longer, they might still be young in age, but they are just as experienced as anyone else in this conference at this time. They've played as many games as everybody else, and you're still rolling out three starting freshmen. So there's, youth is no longer, I think, a credible excuse for this team. And really, the youth only comes into play when you're talking about the turnovers. And they really, turnovers wasn't their issue last night. They just couldn't put the ball in the basket. And again, Liberty does a great job. I think Liberty and what they do, they're a well-coached team, as they always are. They're going to put together a great defensive game plan. To think that they wouldn't, you know, bounce back from their slow start in conference play, I think you'd be a little naive. They're still top half of Conference USA, and they're still vying for, you know, key seeding position going into these last three games for themselves. So there's a lot to play for them, but MTSU just hasn't answered the bell. Going into Bowling Green last week against Western Kentucky, you need to stack up wins at this point just to, so you can keep that two seed spot. But you lost to the last place Western Kentucky team, and I haven't forgotten about that one. That one hurt for more reasons than it just being a rivalry. But this isn't they still aren't a good basketball team, and you lost that one, just got down too big too early, similar to what UTEP did last night in men's basketball. You were able to trim it down to 5 there very late. I think it was even got down to 3 at one point, but it's too little too late. They just couldn't score the basketball early, and Western, to their credit, couldn't miss. A team that hasn't shot the ball well all season long, played their best game in their rivalry game, having to protect their home floor, and they certainly did that. And Western, to their credit too, is still playing for a spot in the Conference USA tournament. They can't afford to lose, as they are now on a 2-game win streak with their win over Delaware last night. So they're not putting themselves to bed quite yet. They still have some work to do, but beating at that time second place MTSU, and now they beat Delaware last night, they're just 1 game out of maybe getting back into the Conference USA tournament. But back to last night's game in Lynchburg, the offense just sputtered with 11 points in the second half, the exact opposite of what happened in Bowling Green with their few points in the first half. It all happened in the second half. 5 for 29 shooting in that second half, just 17%. I believe it was no three-pointers were made. I think it was 0 of 9 was the number that I saw. And then, of note, Blair Bogus still played quality minutes last night, but she had to play limited minutes in the first half because of her early foul trouble. Picked up 3 fouls in that first quarter, and Liberty just kind of takes all the momentum out of you when your best player goes out like that. And it really goes to show how pivotal someone like Blair Bogus is to this team's success when she exits the game that early. So a lot to learn from a game like this, I'm sure of it. But at the end of the day, and again, forgive me as someone that was at the men's basketball game, so I didn't get to necessarily watch this play for play. I don't know that every shot was contested, but you would still think that this team can shoot the ball significantly better, particularly, again, from three-point range, only hitting 2 threes on 21 attempts. I think this team is better in that regard. I don't think that there's anything wrong. Again, from the game that I saw, Liberty just couldn't miss. I think, obviously, I didn't think our defense was great last night, but the offense is just historically not that bad. And I think it just last night was one of those perfect combinations of Liberty playing a great game, and you just were stone cold on the offensive end. So how do you move past it? Well, again, the good news is when you're looking at Conference USA as a whole, your FIU's in front of you. Technically now Missouri State is in front of you, so you've fallen back to the 4-seed spot. You're not out of locking in the 2-seed because you get to play FIU and Missouri State next week. Now, I don't know tiebreakers, how all of that will work out, because it certainly will iron itself out in these last 3 games of the regular season. But if you win both of those home games next week against both of those opponents, you've now split the head-to-head. I believe the next tiebreaker goes to wins against the best teams in the conference. Well, everyone has lost to Louisiana Tech. And then, of course, you're all head-to-head. And I believe your 5th-place team would then be Liberty. Well, you've also split with them, and I believe FIU and Missouri State are in that same boat as well. So that's a lot of tiebreakers that go into play, which is why winning in Bowling Green would have been more important than any of these games, because that's the game you should win. But now your attention is going to turn to that Delaware game. Now you really can't afford to lose games down these last 3. You almost have to win the last 3 to even give yourself an opportunity, again, with all these deep tiebreakers, to lock in that 2-seed. And as we spoke in the men's segment, it is vital that you get the 2-seed, because you're going to play on Wednesday. Being that you win the Wednesday game, you get Thursday rest, and then you're playing in the semifinals on Friday and the championship game on Saturday. So that day of rest is huge, given that everyone else doesn't get that, unless you obviously one of the play-in games and you beat the 1 or 2 seed. But no one else gets that luxury of getting to sit that extra day on Thursday. So winning that 2-seed would be huge for multitude of reasons. So looking at the game tomorrow, it is in Newark. It's at 4 p.m. Central Time on ESPN+. So we'll all actually have the opportunity to watch this one. Now, Conference USA got the scheduling right. But Delaware currently on a 4-game losing streak themselves. This is a streaky bunch. We knew when they came in to Murfreesboro earlier this year, a lot of us were looking at that game as the 500 win game for Coach Rick Insull, and Delaware brought it to them, beating the Lady Raiders 61-48. That was back on January 22nd. But Delaware lost on Thursday night to Western Kentucky by a score of 73-71. The Lady Toppers hit a basket with 25 seconds left to walk away victorious and have their own two-game winning streak. But Delaware, four-game losing streak. They are comfortably in the tournament as far as I'm concerned. But again, seeding all matters here. And so they don't want to enter Conference USA tournament continuing this losing streak. So they've got a lot more at stake, I would think, for them just to feel a little bit more confidence going into Huntsville. But looking back at that 61-48 loss, like I said, it was a notorious 500 win game for Coach Rick Ensel, who lost that game and then ended up getting his 500th on Saturday against Liberty. But in that game, they were outscored 16-2 in the third period, and they trailed by 26 points entering the fourth. They were able to trim the deficit down to 13 after trailing by 26, but just too large of a deficit to come back. They shot 30% field goal in the game, as well as 4 of 26 from 3 for just 15%, so eerily similar to what the Lady Raiders did last night against Liberty. And so when you're scouting out this Delaware team, what do they do really well? And that's defend the three-point shot. And again, it's scary with where things are headed. They didn't shoot the ball well from deep in Bowling Green. They didn't do it well last night. So you're going to be playing a team that also is the best three-point defense in Conference USA in the Lady Hens. So that's of note, that if you think that your three-point shooting is just going to iron itself out and get better because of your opponent, this is not the opponent to do it against. They're going to defend it well. But where this team gets themselves in trouble is that assist-to-turnover ratio. They turn the ball over a lot, but as of late, they've been doing a lot better with that. When you look back at the game here in Murfreesboro, they only turned it over 13 times, which was tied for their second fewest this season. So turning them over is going to be important as far as keys to this game, forcing that hand to Delaware, playing good, solid defense, which, again, you didn't do particularly well turning Liberty over last night. So there's a lot of things that you've got to get right in a quick turnaround this week to feel better about your chances getting that two seed. Also of note for Delaware, they play their starting five much like Rick Ensel does with his starting five. It's going to be the starting five for the entirety of the game. You're going to have some spot minutes here and there if we're for foul trouble, maybe for a little bit of rest, but they've got their five. And that starts with Andia Chair Riser. She's the 13 point per game, 7.5 rebounds per game. She does it all for the Blue Hens, as well as another their freshman point guard, Kalia Correa. I would say in any other Conference USA where you didn't have a team who happens to be second place in Middle Tennessee, but she would be a great Conference USA Freshman of the Year candidate. She averages 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists per game. Her turnover numbers are pretty high, but given that she's a freshman, a very undersized freshman, but scoring 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. So they have talent on this team for Delaware, but when I look at this team as a whole, they don't impress me to say that this team should be competing with the talent that MTSU has. So back to just doing the intangibles well, doing what this team does particularly well, which is shoot the ball well. They obviously have, I think, the physicality presence down low with Blair and Macy that Delaware doesn't have. They're much like MTSU, they don't normally bounce back well from foul trouble, but we've seen MTSU get deeper into their bench. Delaware does not have that luxury. Outside their starting five, they just don't have playmakers. They don't have anyone that can contribute much. So being the more physical team, getting Delaware to play a little bit more defense down low, fouls certainly help in that department. I don't think you're scouting to get the other team to foul you, although that would be help. But physicality is going to be of the utmost importance for them, because I feel like that was the edge that they were missing last night against Liberty. And they have a strong front court for Conference USA standards. And Emmy Stout, one of the best front court players in this conference, and I thought at times she was the more physical forward / center last night. And so if you can get that presence back from Macy Pfeiffer, get that presence back from Blair Bogus, you certainly can feel better about moving into that final week. Again, it's a huge week next week with FIU and Missouri State. So getting a win under your belt here will feel like it's doing a lot for you. And some of the games to watch for on this Saturday when you're talking about Conference USA as a whole, obviously Louisiana Tech, Sam Houston. That's the only Louisiana Tech loss this year was to Sam Houston. So a lot of eyes looking at that one. Of course, Liberty, Western Kentucky, all eyes will be there to see if Western can continue their streak, but Liberty kind of knocking them back down because they are currently vying to get up into this 2-4 spot as well. They're playing really good, and Sam Houston's also in that mix too. So there's some, those two games in particular are ones that I'm eyeing for implications for Huntsville in 2 weeks. But we are going to take a quick little break again, checking in. Baseball, if you didn't already hear that they defeated the Redbirds of Illinois State 13-3 and a run rule, Gavin King getting his first win on the season. The men's tennis team picked up a doubles point against 19th-ranked Princeton, so big news there. They have singles just now starting. We'll touch base with them, but we'll be back. We got some softball talk. They had started their season opener today in their MTSU Invitational Tournament, so we got all that and more for you. You are listening to the Blue Raider Podcast presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee.
Lace up your best kicks for a night of impact benefiting First Shot. Join us for the annual Sneaker Ball presented by Venture Express. Spend Sunday, April 26th with NFL Hall of Famer and Super Bowl MVP Marcus Allen. The event kicks off at 6 with a VIP meet and greet at 5. Reserve your table today. Call Coach Andy Herzer at 615-631-5312. We'll see you at the Sneaker Ball benefiting First Shot on April 26th.
Jennings & Ayers Funeral Home has served Murfreesboro families with compassion and care since 1880. As a family-owned funeral home, we're committed to honoring every life with dignity through traditional services, cremation options, and pre-planning that gives you peace of mind. For over 140 years, we've been here when it matters most. Visit JenningsAndAyers.com. Jennings & Ayers Funeral Home, honoring life and comforting families since 1880.
Clark's Auction Company will get you top dollar for your property.
Auctions are easy, fast, and profitable.
I've always been a big fan of auctions. Get instant sale, no contingencies.
That means the sale of your property won't depend on an inspection, financing, or appraisals.
I've known the guys over there my entire life.
Call Parks Auction and Realty or visit parksauction.com.
Clark's Auction Company will get you top dollar for your property.
Parks Auction Company, committed to auction excellence.
Sold it to you, 27 and a half.
The following is sponsored by Bid My Listing.
Selling your home with Ready, R-E-D-Y, real estate agents will pay you up front for your listing, just for a chance to sell your home. Why would they pay to be your agent? Well, your listing is really valuable. So if an agent is smart, they'll go on Ready and offer you cash up front to get it. And you do want a smart agent, right? Call 888-545-READY, 888-545-R-E-D-Y.
Next on All Sports Talk, it's the Blue Raider Insider Report with Chip Walters of Exit Realty, Bob Lamb & Associates.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Middle Tennessee took care of business at home against UTEP last night. The Blue Raiders knew they had a physical matchup on their hands with the Miners, a team that beat them in overtime earlier this year out in El Paso. And the Blue Raiders answered the bell by holding the Miners off in the second half for a 77-67 win. Middle Tennessee out-rebounded the Miners 35-24 and had a 12-3 advantage on the offensive glass, which led to 12 second chance points to just 2 for UTEP. That proved to be the difference after UTEP went on a late run that cut a 20-point lead at 10 minutes left to play down to just 8 with 3:47 to go before Middle Tennessee closed it out. The victory last night by Middle Tennessee put the Blue Raiders all alone in 7th place in Conference USA. Checking the other scores last night, Jacksonville State had to go overtime to beat Delaware 80-70. Kennesaw beat Liberty, giving the Flames their second straight loss, 74-65. Louisiana Tech squeaked by Missouri State, 72-70. Western Kentucky's now won 5 in a row. They beat New Mexico State, 93-70. And Sam Houston was a winner over FIU, 100-67. The conference standings show Liberty with a 3-game lead over Sam Houston, who is all alone in 2nd place. Western Kentucky now all alone in 3rd. Then there is a 3-way tie for 4th place between Kennesaw, Louisiana Tech, and Jacksonville State. They're all 9-8. Middle in 7th at 9-9. Missouri State is in 8th place at 7-10. Then New Mexico State, FIU, and UTEP are all tied for 9th, and Delaware right now is in 12th place with a record of 5-12. Coming up this weekend, tomorrow, New Mexico State at Middle. That is a noon game. It is senior day. And again, we'll be on the air at 11:30 a.m. FIU at Louisiana Tech, UTEP at Western, Delaware at Kennesaw State, and Missouri State at Sam Houston. Liberty is on the road at Jacksonville State. Middle Tennessee women, not such a good news last night, losing to Liberty 65-37. In the first quarter, Middle had an early 4-0 lead within the first 2 minutes, but Liberty responded with a 14-0 run to make it 14-4. Senior Elena Contreras then made a pull-up jumper to close the gap to 14-6. Coach Rick Ensel said that Middle has to do a better job shooting the ball right now, and at the end of the half, they kind of walked the ball down, and they've got to do a better job of recognizing time and score. Up next, Middle remains on the road to face the Delaware Blue Hens. That will be at 4 o'clock Central Time. The game will air right here on WGNS and the Blue Raider Network. Elsewhere last night, Western Kentucky beat Delaware 73-71. FIU lost at Missouri State 69-38. New Mexico State over Kennesaw 52-40, and UTEP over Jacksonville State 66-64. Conference standings look this way. Louisiana Tech is number one at 14-1. FIU and Missouri State tied at 10-6. Sam Houston, Middle Tennessee tied at 9-6. They are in fourth place. Liberty is in sixth at 9-7. Jack State in seventh at 7-9. Then Delaware at 6-10. UTEP and New Mexico State at 5-10. While Kennesaw State and Western Kentucky all have 11 losses. Blue Raider softball at home all weekend, featuring the Raider Invitational, and also baseball at home, playing right now against Illinois State. They'll play them again tomorrow at 1 and Sunday at 1. That's it for today. Have a great weekend. See you at Murphy Center, the softball field, or the baseball field. They're all at home, and track is in the Conference USA Indoor Championships this weekend up in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm Chip Walters, and you're listening to the Big G, WGNS.
This is the Blue Raider Podcast, presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, 100.5 Smyrna, WGNSradio.com, and the Blue Raider Podcast YouTube channel. Now, back to your host, Jake Bolden.
Welcome back into the Blue Raider Podcast, presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee. An action-packed day for all of Blue Raider athletics. We talked hoops. We've already talked a little bit about baseball and their 13-3 win over Illinois State. At the top of the episode, though, I mentioned the Lady Raiders softball team finally returned home after a long February on the road, but they picked up two big wins today over Akron 4-3 and Tennessee Martin 9-3. I wanted to give them the love in the top of our last segment just to kind of highlight this team. I know a lot of people this time of year, it's hard to watch them. You never see them on ESPN Plus because of all the flow sports rights that a lot of these preseason tournaments are, but you do get some time to see them this weekend. They are back home tomorrow playing Tennessee Martin and Akron once more. Martin is at 11 a.m. Akron's at 2 p.m. You could have an all Saturday Blue Raider athletics day. You could start your day off with softball at 11, then you got men's basketball on their senior day at 12. Again, you don't want to miss their senior day festivities 15 minutes before tip-off. And then baseball, they actually start at 3 o'clock. So it's just one right after another for you this weekend. So, baseball is at 1 o'clock. So you can catch a little bit of softball before basketball and then catch a little baseball at the end of basketball. So a lot of action happening there. More also going on today is men's tennis hosting number 19th ranked Princeton. They already picked up the doubles point, so they lead Princeton right now 1-0. We got some action starting on the singles court. Still too early to really kind of siphon out what's going on there, but we'll touch base as we wrap up our episode today. But back to softball. Again, two big wins today. They're on a winning streak. They came back from Gainesville this last weekend where they faced a top four Florida team, and I know that they lost those matchups 8-0 and 7-0, but all things considered, I think getting some hits in those games, not getting no hit against a number four ranked Florida team is things that you should be excited about. But this team in particular, there's really no surprises as far as who stood out thus far. Jenna Want, Lexi Medlock leading the way as far as batting average goes. But the one standout, and I was able to speak with softball's SID, Andy, last night. I said, who do I need to know? And unfortunately, again, like you can box score watch softball all you want, but it's hard to really siphon out who is good on this team, who's contributing, because box scores don't always tell the full story. And she had mentioned to me that Jana Want, Lexi Medlock have been their usual selves. But freshman Maddie Pint, who going into this year had surprised me that she was getting starter minutes, or starter, got basketball in the brain, getting the start in their first couple games this year, but she has really shined bright, leading the team right now with 4 home runs and 10 RBIs, as well as 2 triples on the year. So she has been a big standout. And then she also said in the circle, freshman Braylon Hall, she picked up her 2nd win this year, going to 2-3, but she has a 3.87 ERA. And unfortunately for Miss Hall, just haven't had the run production that she needs to really stand out. And that's promising stuff. Once again, having 2 freshmen stand out like that. And then you still have players that haven't necessarily picked it up quite yet that you saw last year. And I mostly look at Ansley Blevins, who had a great first couple of games, but she has certainly cooled off on as far as the batting average numbers go. Her on-base percentage at .306. She still has a home run, only 3 RBIs. So that's someone that you would eventually, she would start turning that corner. Macy Harder is starting to play a lot better right now, but looking at today's matchups in particular, that 4-3 win over Akron, Jana Want was your savior with a 2-run RBI home run in the bottom of the 5th, and then Kennedy Chapman had a sack fly there late to give them a late 4-1 lead, and then able to hold them off in those last 2 innings was Hildreth. So they got the first one out of the way, and then they blew up for 8 runs in the first inning against Tennessee Martin in their Game 2 matchup. Again, that was 8 runs, led off with Macy Harder doubling, and then later in the same inning, she hits a 2-run home run. And then you've got Lexi Medlock getting herself an RBI single. Ansley Blevins also an RBI single. So they looked really, really good early in that second matchup, and they held on to win that one by a score of 9-3. Mary Martinez getting the win in that one over her 7 innings, allowing just 4 hits, 3 runs. But none of those runs were earned, and that's also been kind of a familiar story for Mary and this defense in particular, just giving up bad errors and the run production not there. So I think that this softball team is starting to look a lot better as of late. Like I said, even though they picked up 2 wins in Gainesville. They weren't against Florida, but they did beat Lindenwood, and I'm currently blanking on the other win that they had down in Gainesville, but they had a good tournament in Gainesville. You're looking to maybe go 4-0 this week at home now that you're finally back at home and conference play is not too terribly far. So I look forward to seeing this softball team continue to grow. And also out on the diamond, baseball, they improved to 7-2 with a 13-3 win today over Illinois State. They just continue to surprise me, to say the least. I know if you're in touch with baseball, your typical Friday starter would have been Drew Horn, but they started today Gavin King, who outside of 2 runs in the first 2 innings looked great. Had some issue throwing strikes early on, but around that 4th inning mark, kind of found his stride, got through some guys quickly, got out of a jam there late in the 3rd. Again, all you can ask for out of a guy that isn't typically starting on Friday nights, getting you limited, giving up limited runs there, and of course the bats were just on fire for them, putting up 13 runs against Illinois State, which again is not nothing. When we look back at the scoring here, I know that it was a lot in that 3rd and 6th inning in particular. Brett Rogers had an RBI single, which added another run with an error in center field. And then in the bottom of the 6th inning, you had a bases-loaded walk by Cooper Clapp, Matt Wolf with a double, RBI double that scored 2 runs, and then Clay Badalak also had a 2 RBI single that eventually just blew the game up to 13-2, and then Illinois State pushed one across there in the top of the 7th to make it 13-3. But this team, and the area that we talked about last time we were talking about baseball 2 weeks ago, was how does this pitching look? And to think that you were able to lose your number one starter in your first matchup, and then you're able to just turn over to Gavin King and say, hey, can you give us 5 good innings today at the start of a 3-game stretch? And he produced, to say the least. If I can pull up his final stat line for him today, he had 5 innings pitched, only allowing 4 hits, 2 earned runs. Like I said, 4 walks was the concern. But 22 total batters face, his ERA is 6.35. I think you'll take that, again, on short notice. Sexton came in late to close things out. He gave up a run, an unearned run to say the least, but he still gave up a run in his 1 2/3. Again, the bullpen, 2 runs, no earned runs. That's great stuff. And then looking back to Tuesday's game where they beat Tennessee Tech, a run rule no less of Tennessee Tech, a program that made the tournament last year, so it's no slouch of a program that they're running there, but picking up a run rule there, solid outing again from what typically your midweek is not your A1 pitchers, but you were able to roll through that Tennessee Tech lineup, limit the damage there, only allowing 1 run. I've been extremely impressed with this team. I would love to see, though, a weekend sweep. And I think getting today out of the way with your number one pitcher sick, it's going to be a tall task if he's healthy. I don't know that he's even going to pitch this week. I was told that he's pitched sick before, but he looked really bad today. So I don't know that he'll be able to produce anything for them this weekend. But if you're having to dig deep, Gavin King's 5 innings is certainly going to help. Obviously, a 7-inning game shortens the need out of the bullpen, so that's going to be a big help for him. So, Illinois State, they got a matchup tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and then the Sunday game is also at 1 o'clock. I look forward to making it out there tomorrow afternoon at the conclusion of basketball to touch base with them. But that will do it for our show today. Again, men's tennis currently at home right now against 19th-ranked Princeton. They are up 1-0 after getting the doubles point really early, but we've got 3 guys winning in singles right now. It is very, very early, but that currently, if those things hold true, you get a win over a top 25 program at home. That's good news for them. Touching base once more, softball tomorrow at 11 against Akron, or excuse me, against Tennessee Martin. Basketball at home against New Mexico State at 12 noon. They have their senior festivities at 11:45. Baseball at 1 o'clock with Illinois State. Thanks to you for tuning in to another episode of the Blue Raider Podcast presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee. Reminder to follow us on our social media at Blue Raider Pod on X, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you're tuned into our live stream on YouTube right now, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss another one of our weekly episodes. And tomorrow's live stream at the conclusion of men's basketball game against New Mexico State. We're going to be later tonight. I know it's a weird postseason basketball schedule, but Brian Barrett will be out at Siegel today, where Stewart's Creek and Siegel, that doesn't tip off until 7, so they'll have a 6:45 pregame for you. I want to thank my producer, Micah Robeson, and thanks again to you for listening to another episode of the Blue Raider Podcast presented by Gold's Gym of Tennessee.
Here's Dr. Craig McCabe at McCabe Vision Center.
The most common cause of sudden, acute, painless vision loss is a stroke to the eyes, and that can involve either an artery or a vein. People that have suffered through this will tell you that it didn't hurt.
He's the eye doctor you hear on the radio.
My father went to him before I did, and we liked him very much.
McCabe Vision Center on Heritage Park Drive, just off Memorial, behind SunTrust Bank.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. And I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
People are putting hardwood throughout the whole house.
Andrew Young with City Tile and Floor Covering.
Most people are taking carpet out of bedrooms and adding hardwood.
Murfreesboro City Tile and Floor Covering can add wow to your home.
Make your house a wow house. City Tile and Floor.
The most popular are these light, natural, cooler colors.
Andrew Young.
Hard surface throughout the whole home and less carpet.
City Tile and Floor Covering, 223 South Spring Street.
Lace up your best kicks for a night of impact benefiting First Shot. Join us for the annual Sneaker Ball presented by Venture Express. Spend Sunday, April 26th with NFL Hall of Famer and Super Bowl MVP Marcus Allen. The event kicks off at 6 with a VIP meet and greet at 5. Reserve your table today. Call Coach Andy Herzer at 615-631-5312. We'll see you at the Sneaker Ball benefiting First Shot on April 26th.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles,
Here's Dan Beyer.
Two of the best in the East go at it tonight in Detroit. The Pistons, with the best record, host the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavaliers come into the fourth spot of the Eastern Conference. They'll play tonight without Donovan Mitchell. Also, guard James Harden questionable because of the fracture on his non-shooting hand. Elsewhere in the NBA, Spurs center Mason Plumlee has signed a deal with the Spurs through the rest of the season. Mavericks are home to the Grizzlies tonight. Klay Thompson, P.J. Washington, doubtful to play for the Mavs. The Dallas Cowboys are placing the non-exclusive franchise tag on wide receiver George Pickens. If he plays under the tag in 2026, he'd be paid more than $27 million.
Programming has been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna, flagship station for MTSU sports. Courthouse clock time, 6 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original